Happy day. I'm Liza, your healing mentor. I used to say, all I need in life is for my kids to be happy and healthy. The problem was they weren't happy and they weren't healthy. Both my kids had anxiety, depression, and even Lyme disease. Then one day my daughter told her therapist, what would make me happy is if my mom was happy. So I went on a journey to find my own personal happiness. When I finally became happy, my own kids accelerated in their own healing journey. Now I share my stories, my mindset, and other inspirational healers with you. Let's heal one story at a time. Happy day. It is always a happy day when I get to have a conversation with Dr. Bill Rawls. You might know Dr. Rawls as the author of Unlocking Lyme or the Cellular Wellness Solution. He is also the medical director of Vital Plan, an herbal and supplement company that he founded with his daughter, Brayden. Dr. Rawls is a wealth of information. My family, including myself, we have been on his Vital Plan products, and sometimes it's so hard for me to explain why all of these things are happening from taking his herbs. For instance, my daughter was able to get off of antibiotics successfully. It was a big game changer in the treatment for my son when he was couch ridden for a month, and we incorporated this mitochondrial support. I no longer have nodules on my thyroid. I can't explain the hows and the whys because I'm not Dr. Rawls. But today we have this amazing conversation where I can kind of share what I'm seeing and he explains the science behind all of it. And so much more than that, he really goes into the science behind how we come to a place of disease and illness, and how we come to a place of wellness. And managing the health of ourselves is managing health. That was my big takeaway. So I hope that you take away so much from this amazing conversation. Let's dive in with Dr. Rawls. Happy day. I am so excited and honored to have you back on the podcast, Dr. Rawls.
Oh, thank you so much. It is always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's such an honor for me. And third time, actually, to have you on Very Happy Stories. So how lucky am I and all of us to have you on? In the past, we've talked about Lyme, of course, and cellular health, and the power of herbs, and we are mixing it up today. And I'm so grateful that you're open to this. I have so many personal stories to share about our experience on herbs, and I get excited to talk about it. And sometimes I struggle answering questions of my audience and of my followers because I'm not Dr. Rawls. And so here you are today to share the science behind how all of this is happening. So I'm so excited to have this conversation.
Yeah. You know, getting to how things actually work, that's what makes me excited. That's my passion. So sharing that will be fun. And, you know, I think like everybody, when I first was struggling with chronic Lyme disease, which has been a decade now. You know, I've enjoyed really great health for a decade. But when I was in that place, it was like, yeah, I need something to kill the microbes. I need to take these herbs. I need to take these things to kill the microbes, to eradicate the infection so I can get well. And decade of studying this, I recognized that that's not really what it's about. And it's not really how the herbs work. But it defines why the herbs and some of the other ingredients that I talk about, like glutathione and NAC, are so remarkably important in that recovery process. Like, no matter what else you do, you really should be doing this.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I can't wait to get into this. And so what I wanted to do is kind of share three specific stories that happened to my family. I have a story for each child and myself, and you are going to explain to me, how did this happen? So let's get into it.
The first story is about my son. And I know that there are a lot of parents living this right now where you have a child in active Lyme treatment. This happened to my son. He was on a mixture of antibiotics and I never saw him get better. He had been on antibiotics 3, 4, 5 months long. And the doctor told me to really up his glutathione. She was telling me, you know, he needs more detox. I think that the glutathione that she had us on was a good product, but it was this disgusting jelly that she wanted my son to up the dosage and the frequency. And he's like, Mom, I can't do this. And I really needed to find something else. And this is where I stumbled upon your mitochondrial support. Really, I bought this specifically for the glutathione. But within 30 days, he was going back to online school. This is still when we were shut down, where he wasn't even able to do online school. Back to online school, getting off of the couch, moving his body, taking short walks. And it literally was just what I thought was glutathione. What happened? Like, I mean, is this common? Like what happened here?
Yeah. Well, we've got a couple of layers of things to talk about there. But yeah, I considered glutathione very important in my recovery along with N-acetylcysteine. And let me talk about antibiotics first, you know. So the problem with most people's approach is most people that identify with Lyme disease are struggling with chronic Lyme disease, not acute Lyme disease. In fact, I'm coming around to thinking that acute Lyme disease, somebody bitten by a tick and becoming symptomatic, significantly symptomatic, isn't all that common. These bacteria are not that virulent. And not only that, you don't just get Borrelia, the microbe associated with Lyme disease. You typically get a bunch of other things too, most of which we probably don't even know about. You know, ticks carry hundreds of species of microbes. So with the initial infection, these bacteria enter the bloodstream and they're coursing through the bloodstream. They're having a confrontation with the immune system right there. You know, it's a hand-to-hand battle between the microbes and the immune system. And the microbes, the bacteria, are trying to get to cells of your body, and the immune system is trying to keep them there. That from getting there. That's what an acute infection is. We know, though, that whether you take antibiotics or immune system or anything else, some of the bacteria make it to your tissues, your brain, your heart, your joints, everything, a few. And they enter cells. And if your cells are healthy, if your body is healthy, this is kind of a new revelation over the past couple of years, that they can become dormant inside your cells. Your cells keep right on functioning, perfectly normal. And we know, we're finding this happens in virtually every tick bite, but it also happens with mosquito bites and, you know, putting things in our mouths when we're children and all of these things. And we're finding also that bacteria cross from the gut and our sinuses and our gums, and our bloodstream is more like a freeway. And so we have these things. And if we're healthy, then these become dormant in our tissues. And we can keep right on going with life healthy, all our cells are functioning well. But later, another tick bite, another invasion, COVID, bad stress, an automobile accident that puts you in the hospital, stresses your body, stresses your cells, and these things reactivate. And once they reactivate, they start breaking down cells to create an environment that favors microbe growth. So your body switches from an environment, and you can think about this, thinking about just bacteria emerging from different tissues throughout the body in low concentrations, and they're shifting your internal environment, your bloodstream, your tissues, from an environment that favors healthy cells to one that favors microbe growth. And that's what a chronic infection is. So these things are constantly reemerging from this dormant state. So antibiotics, because it's happening continually and slowly, antibiotics kill off your normal flora before they actually wipe out. They're not going to kill all these dormant microbes. They're going to keep emerging. And your immune system at that point is actually working against you. So if you think about it, that initial infection, your immune system, it's on guard. It's got sentries all around your bloodstream. Things are coming in and it's working to kill those bacteria as soon as they enter your system. But when you talk about things emerging from your cells all through your body, your immune system says, oh my God, we've got this thing going on that these bacteria. So they start attacking the bacteria, but also attacking the cells they're coming from. And that's what autoimmunity is. And that's what you worry about with this chronic reactivation syndrome, which is what chronic Lyme disease is. But it's also what long COVID is. And it's also what autoimmune illness is. And it's also what Parkinson is. And it's also what Alzheimer's is.
Yep. MS too.
And there is evidence in the scientific literature now that supports this. So different illnesses, different microbes. That's it. But this reactivation, so antibiotics are actually working against us. So we have not just our immune system. We have four levels of defense against bacteria and viruses and other microbes. All right. The first is barriers. We have our skin, the lining of our guts, things that keep bacteria and other microbes from getting to the bloodstream. So barriers are a really important part of our defense. If we didn't have skin, not only would we dry out, we would be consumed by bacteria in the environment very, very quickly. The second level is our normal flora. They're a defense mechanism, right? So our normal flora in our skin and on our gut and sinuses and other places are actually suppressing pathogens that are always there. So that's really important. So with antibiotics, you're killing off your normal flora, which is one of your really important defenses. Your immune system, that's an important defense. The immune system does a lot of things, but possibly the most important thing is acute infection. All right?
Yep.
Then you've got that fourth level of defense. People aren't paying attention to this. It's your cells. Your cells can defend themselves. Bacteria, when all of these bacteria that we're talking about, whether one pathogens from the gut, pathogens from ticks, it doesn't matter. Viruses, bacteria, they all thrive by entering cells and invading cells, because cells are food, cells are protection. So if your cells are weak, they're vulnerable, and the bacteria or viruses or whatever can just break down the cell and use it for food, basically. But if your cells are strong, one of two things happens. One, they can become dormant, and that's kind of a survival mechanism that a lot of bacteria and viruses use. And that's why we can have reactivation of Epstein-Barr. Everybody gets Epstein-Barr. We all get it. It's dormant inside our cells, along with a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
But healthy cells can also expel. So healthy cells can either keep bacteria and viruses dormant, or they can kill them using a process called autophagy, right?
Wait, so cells can actually kill things too?
Yes. So what's happening in chronic illness is you're losing cellular health. Your cells are becoming weak. The bacteria and other microbes are taking advantage of that, breaking them down, and it becomes this really destructive situation. And this is, and it's hard to get ahead of it because you've got these microbes that are emerging and breaking down cells, and that is just creating inflammation and all of this other thing. So a big part of recovering from any kind of chronic condition, chronic Lyme disease or anything else, is restoring cellular health. So I'm really focusing on the cells as much as I am on the immune system. If you restore the cellular health, you take the workload off the immune system and the immune system can start doing its job better.
Wow.
Simple as that. And your immune system is cellular.
Okay. This is making so much more sense. So when we talk about the mitochondrial support, we are talking about helping your cells, restoring your cells, getting your cells to a healthier place. So when I see a change in my child just from adding mitochondrial support, this was kind of like his cell booster. This was the transformation where for him, his cells were becoming healthier.
Yeah. So
wow.
When we hear about things like glutathione and NAC, people tend to categorize them as the same as like coenzyme Q10 or vitamins or minerals. I differentiate, right? So vitamins, minerals, coenzyme Q10, L-carnitine, all of these things I consider nutrients. And nutrients are things that cells need to either generate energy or rebuild parts or do their job. It's like iodine cells need iodine, or thyroid cells need iodine to make thyroid hormone. You know, it's a part. So it's a nutrient that they need to do their job. Glutathione and NAC aren't nutrients in that sense. That cells don't use them directly to do their job. So nutrients are sometimes important. Eating a good diet is really your most important source of nutrients. Cells need raw materials and energy to do their jobs. What glutathione is doing and also what NAC are doing are extreme cell protectants. So they work extracellularly outside the cell to neutralize a lot of different kinds of free radicals, including the kinds of free radicals that are produced during inflammation. They also work inside the cell to protect the cell parts and also to protect the mitochondria or the cell, the free radicals that are coming from the energy generation inside the mitochondria. So glutathione, I found really serendipitously, is just a really important cell protectant. Now, a lot of people will tell you that it's a big molecule. It's three different amino acids that are stuck together that you don't absorb it. But they have found mechanisms by which your body does absorb it intact. And the different products you were talking about, you were using a liposomal preparation, right? So
yes.
This idea that if you take fat and emulsify it or shake the ingredient up, glutathione, anything really, that the fat surrounds the particles and helps them to be absorbed better. And there is some truth to that. The problem with a lot of liposomal products is they're not palatable and you're getting a lot of fat, but not much of the actual ingredient, right? Because you've emulsified it. But that's why we always tell people, take this stuff with coconut milk. It's a really good thing, like your grocery store dairy substitute coconut milk. That's a fat, and it's typically the fat they use to make liposomal products, right? So if you take your capsules with coconut milk, you get this mega dose of the glutathione and NAC, but your stomach emulsifies it. So you basically make that liposomal supplement. So
I did not know that. Yeah. Fascinating.
So, but you get a lot more. You know, we're delivering like 10 plus times what you would get in a liposomal. It's just a lot higher concentration. So you're getting a lot more of it and you're getting it in the correct form. Now, NAC actually enhances glutathione levels, but it does some really important things too. So both NAC and glutathione are mucolytic. They break down mucus in the lungs. They protect lung cells. So that's why it's found to be so important, like for long COVID and COVID in general. You know, I always suggested that people take high doses of NAC and glutathione. Both of them actually do have some antiviral properties, and they're really important for detoxification, especially glutathione. So when you have toxic substances It's coupling those toxic substances to allow their removal. So it's neutralizing the toxin and allowing it to be removed. So both inside cells and outside cells, glutathione has many roles, and the NAC really helps support that. So a lot of people, you know, I talked to somebody yesterday who was really focused on the mitochondria. You know, we need to get NAD and coenzyme Q10 and all these kinds of things so we can boost our mitochondria. And it's like, yeah, maybe, but you're actually getting those things in your diet pretty well. Your body is able to make them. But I like to look at things from a cellular point of view because the cell is the smallest functional unit in the body. So mitochondria aren't functional units by themselves. They're parts of the cell. Now, a healthy cell is constantly managing its mitochondria. If you've got an invaded cell that's weak and it's being, you know, cannibalized by viruses or bacteria, it's working really hard just to stay alive, and it can't manage its mitochondria, so that thing breaks down. So if you restore cellular health, you're also in the process restoring mitochondrial health. So you don't need to biohack your mitochondria. Really important. You don't need to biohack your mitochondria. Take care of your cells, and your cells are going to biohack your mitochondria for you. And so using ingredients like glutathione and NAC help your cells do that.
Got it. I love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Rawls. And I get it. I see exactly what you're saying in maintaining the health of your cells. This I just saw as a mother, a child that was unable to participate in life, was then able to do that. So thank you. All right. I want to shift gears right now and talk about, and you actually covered a lot about antibiotics. So thank you. So many people ask me, how did you get your child off of antibiotics? This was my daughter. Now, this is a story about my daughter. Her case was so much more complex. And you know, she's your child that really, she had a strong congenital load of Lyme. She also got bit by multiple ticks. She had mold exposure. She actually developed PANS, pediatric acute neuropsychiatric syndrome, very badly. And the last bacterial situation for her to take care of was Bartonella. And so we worked with a different LLMD who put her on a pretty strong protocol, and she did very well until we saw the need to then get off of the antibiotic. And I know you've explained this before. You'll see that they start working until they don't. And it was time to get her off antibiotics. And we tried unsuccessfully to taper her off. And then I said to my doctor, look, my son and I are already on these herbs, which was the Vital Plan Immune Boost. And I said, can we try these first and then take her off? And he looked at the ingredients and he said, yeah, let's try it. So then my daughter was on these herbs for 3 months because her situation is slow and steady. I ramped her up very, very slowly. And then when we took her off 3 months later, she was perfectly fine, and we've never gone back on antibiotics, and this is still a staple for us. So what is happening here? Why was this so successful when we started this, and specifically these products, which are, you know, include Japanese knotweed, cat's claw, that's in the advanced biotic, and in the adaptogen recovery, we're seeing reishi mushrooms, Chinese skullcap extract. So let's talk about these specific herbs.
A lot of this is a reflection of my own recovery, which again, during my recovery, I wasn't necessarily completely confident of what was going on. I just knew it was working.
Exactly. That's where we are.
And I spent, the past decade really getting down to the, how is this actually working and why is it different? So what's happening with an antibiotic during that early stage when, think about chronic Lyme disease as a reactivation syndrome with these bacteria emerging from cells and breaking down other cells and the immune system reacting to that. And it gets to be just a really harsh situation inside your body. So yes, with antibiotics, you are killing the bacteria that are emerging. Now, there are also viruses. You're not doing much for them, but you are killing the bacteria. And for the short term, that can actually be beneficial. But antibiotics are not doing anything to promote cellular health. In fact, we know that they actually work against cellular health. You're talking about children who are pretty resilient. You know, they have very resilient cells at that age. So the antibiotics were suppressing them. But at the same time, the antibiotics were disrupting the normal flora, which is that second layer of defense, which is so remarkably important. You know, there's studies. There was a study in 2015 that showed that when dysbiosis occurs, when you suppress the normal flora and allow pathogens to flourish in the gut, there is a steady flow of pathogens into the bloodstream and to all the tissues in the body. So not, you know, you may be killing some microbes, but you're kind of opening the door to other things and suppressing a key part of that defense system. That's the difference in antibiotics and herbs. So, you know, for your child that was less affected, all it took was glutathione and NAC. For most people, you're going to need to bring on some, you know, higher potency antimicrobial. And so what we're doing with the herbs is bringing in some pretty significant antimicrobial properties. You know, I cite the Johns Hopkins studies. There was a series of studies a couple of years ago where they looked at these were test tube studies to see if they killed Borrelia, and they found that Japanese knotweed, cat's claw, Chinese skullcap, some of these herbs actually worked as well as antibiotics for actually killing bacteria directly. That was really fascinating. But it was a series. They took the same herbs and used them on Bartonella. Well, they worked there too. And also Babesia. Well, that's a different thing. That's a protozoa. Got that one too. And I researched, you know, back in March of 2020, I was looking for herbs that people had looked at for, you know, coronaviruses and SARS viruses, and Japanese knotweed, cats, or Chinese skullcap, andrographis. Some of these same herbs were on the list. So the herbs have a lot of range. It's not one chemical. It's hundreds or even thousands of chemicals. But it's a sophisticated system. It's the plant's, basically the plant's immune system. But there's an intelligence there. So it has actually been documented in scientific studies that when you take an herb, it actually suppresses pathogens in the gut and on the skin, but it doesn't affect normal flora. That makes sense. You know, the plant is going to want to take care of the friendly bacteria and microbes in its environment. So it's selective.
Yes. Oh, I understand that. I very much, it's selective. It's, that's the intelligence of the herb, of the plant. It has, it's a life form that actually does have intelligence.
But you need to get enough of that, what we call phytochemistry of the herb. It has to be a concentrate, good concentration. So in our products, we're actually using the highest potency, highest grade extracts that you can buy. And I recently had our supply chain manager, you know, look to define, well, how much of one of our capsules, what is it equal to? And I thought it'd be more potent. But he came back, it was the equivalent. If you took like one of our main products and created another product using standard grade herbal preparations that most companies are using, one of our products would equal 10 of the competition. So there's a potency there. You're getting a lot more phytochemistry. But in that respect, I've been really careful for myself and everybody that uses them to use extracts, to use herbs that have a very low potential to cause reactions. They don't contain sedatives. They don't contain this stimulants. I'm really careful of things that don't react with other drugs or other herbs. So they have a low reactive potential. And I've been surprised that occasionally I do find products that contains herbs that are classified in some respects as poisons, that, you know, they're just too strong. So you have to be really careful. Not to say that you know that you're not going to have a few people that have reactions or bad Herbsheimers with any product, including this particular regimen. But you know, that care of really trying to define, yeah, what are the herbs that are going to do provide the most benefit with the least risk and side effects?
Yes. Well, this is so important because through the journey we've been on herbs, this is not our first time on herbs. We've done herbs. We've done tinctures. We did herbs and antibiotics together. We've been doing that. And so I feel like now I have been misspeaking, because when I tell people about these herbs, I'm like, they're so effective, but they're so subtle. I didn't see my kids struggle. I didn't see them hurt. But I think I'm misspeaking. It's they're not subtle. It's that they're very clean.
They're very clean. And it depends on which herbs you pick. I mean, you know, what we're basically doing when we take an herb is we're pulling the defense and regulatory, the chemical defense and regulatory systems of the plants. And every plant is slightly different. You know, different plants are exposed to different stress factors in their natural environment, or choose to solve problems in a way that doesn't mesh with our biochemistry. I mean, it's like, poison ivy is a great antimicrobial, but nobody would make the mistake of taking right. that twice, right?
Exactly.
So it's there are plants that we know of that have stronger properties that don't really mesh with our biochemistry well. So what I wanted was plants that were mainly having this effect of suppressing pathogens, but were also really important cell protectants. So the main thing, a really important part of taking herbs that you're not getting with antibiotics or much of anything else, is you're getting potent antioxidants and cell protectants that are helping to neutralize free radicals, toxic substances, radiation. You know, the herbs even protect you from eating too much carbohydrate. You know, many that we are using actually have anti-diabetic properties. They protect you from the toxic effects of eating carbohydrates. So the cell protectants. So I was looking for herbs. I realize now, you know, why my intuition had led me to those herbs is because what they were doing was not what was mainly just protecting cells and suppressing those microbes and restoring cellular health. And ultimately, that's what it's all about. So when you look at that complement of these different herbs and glutathione and NAC and just the other support nutrients, you're talking about one of the best cell protection systems that you could buy. I mean, it's really important. And that's where we need to be to really maintain wellness in any respect.
So when I think about my daughter's success in getting off antibiotics, I don't want to minimize that, because that's huge. And I know that there are families listening right now and mothers being like, God, I really want to get my kids off. And the thing about it is it accurate to say that when I put my daughter on these herbs in combination with antibiotics, she was in still kill phase type of protocol. And so that's what made it successful to get her off of the antibiotics, because she still had that defense of having properties still be in kill phase.
You still need to do it, but I've come around to recognizing the importance of just taking herbs long term. Now, I don't think everybody, you know, healthy people don't necessarily need to take really high doses of these extracts. It's just, you know, it's just not as necessary, and people don't necessarily want to take 12 capsules a day for the rest of their lives. I do. That's personal choice, but not everyone does. So, but having some of that potency, because the fact of the matter is, we've got microbes coming in all the time. You know, things that we don't necessarily even feel. Microbes are constantly breaking through barriers and entering our system, trying to get to our cells. And we have, you know, we have so many toxins in the world today, and it's so hard to eat a perfect diet, and it's so hard to get a perfect night's sleep every night. You know, this, the herbs add a level of protection that you just can't get otherwise.
They actually, to be honest with you, they give me peace of mind. Like knowing that it's flu season or cold season, or there might be another variant, I truly have such peace of mind knowing that my family is on herbs. Real quick, I wanted to ask you, what is your thought about taking these herbs with a binder, since you are still, like, if you are ramped up to the highest dose and you're on it long term? You know, I think the least amount of time to be effective, I've heard, is like 6 months, you know, so you want to be on it longer. Do you throw in a binder a week or two here? What's your thoughts?
What kind of binder?
Like a charcoal or a, why can I not think of the binder?
Clay.
Yes. It'll come to me, of course, later. But you know, these binders that, like, there are some that most of them you have to take away from food so that you don't bind that up too. But then recently I've also seen the CellCore binders, biotoxin binders that they allow you to take with food. So I just didn't know what your stance was on incorporating a binder with these types of herbs.
Yeah, I'm not that big a fan of binders. I'll tell you why. But the first question I'd ask is, you're talking about ridding your body of toxic substances, right?
Yes.
Where are the toxic substances? It's an important question. Where are they doing damage?
You know, I guess what I've always been told is, as you are killing bacteria and you're killing Lyme and you're killing pathogens to get that stuff out of your body, even mold, right? To get it out of your body. So that was always my understanding of why you need a binder. Is that not true?
Right. So where does the binder bind things? In your gut, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't travel to your cells where the toxic substances actually are, do they?
Oh, so what are they binding up then?
They're binding toxic substances in your gut, but also things that aren't toxic that you need in your gut. So binders are really good if someone has an acute toxicity. Like, for example, I had a friend once that inherited a house from his grandmother, and he started renovating the house himself. He started tearing out walls and pulled up the floorboards and found that the whole house was just encased in black mold. And he was almost dead in a week. He had such a high concentration of mycotoxins. His whole body was a bundle of mycotoxins. And it was, you know, he needed some binders to help pull some of that load off. I think it was really important with that acute toxicity. But what we're talking about here is acute. You know, we do need to purge toxins, and we do, and endotoxins from bacterial die-off, but you're not talking about these mega concentrations. You're talking about just kind of a trickle coming out, right? So, yeah. So, but these things are in the cells, and what they're doing is they're damaging cellular processes, whether you're talking about petroleum and plastic and chemical and pesticide-based toxins or endotoxins. You know, they're in the inside cells or in that cellular space. So the first step in any detoxification is moving blood, because blood flushes the space. You know, when you start moving, or if you're too inflamed to move, if you do sauna is going to increase your heart rate, dilate your blood vessels. And what that does is it flushes the spaces around your cells with fluid. And that's really important, because what inflammation is, it's congestion of all those spaces with debris from dead cells and toxic substances and dead bacteria. So all that space around your cells is congested. Your cells can't breathe. So washing that, the solution to pollution is dilution. you'll wash them. And to do that, so sauna is really important, or exercise, if you can do exercise, to open up those spaces and flush them. That allows your cells to breathe, but also to purge those toxic substances. It's pulling away some of that toxic stuff. It's clearing it through your lymphatic system. So blood flow is the most important first step in detoxification. And I think everybody forgets that. They're taking all these blasted binders and they're not doing the stuff that's mobilizing it from where the toxins are.
And I do remember now, just in case people are like, what were the binders? The ones that I remember my kids were on were GI detox. So specifically what you said, GI, and Pectisol. Those were the ones that we were on. I was drawing a blank, but thank you.
Pectisol is basically taking my favorite binder, which is just vegetable fiber, is really good. Pectin is basically from apples, right? It's apple fiber. So, you know, eat your binders, right? So the one thing that I think is really important, though, is chlorella. Everybody says, well, chlorella doesn't really hold on to toxins in their gut. They're right. But you absorb chlorella, you absorb the chlorophyll, it goes in your bloodstream and it pulls that space around the cells and it binds those toxic substances and helps them pull away from your cells. So chlorella is really important for pulling those things away. So I'm a big advocate of chlorella, especially during these acute phases of recovery. So chlorella is help. And, you know, does it actually get in your bloodstream? Absolutely. Because one time I took so much of it, I was sweating green. So yes, you do absorb it. It does get in your bloodstream. It does get into those spaces. So chlorella is really important because it does things that the binders aren't doing. So it helps mobilize those toxins. And then once you mobilize them, glutathione to enhance that detoxification process, to neutralize the toxins, and really important, milk thistle to protect your liver.
Oh, yes. We have been on that sometimes.
So all of this is going to be happening, but it's a slow trickle into your gut. So you neutralize the toxins in your liver, they come through your bile, and they're slowly trickling into the gut. So you do need to bind them, but you need to bind them and get them out of your body. So one of the biggest complications or side effects is binders like charcoal and bentonite clay is they make people constipated. You're not getting things out the body unless you have good regular bowel movements. And taking something that makes you constipated is one of the worst things you can do. So vegetable fiber or, you know, pectin, if you want to take something like that, those kinds of things bind the neutralized toxins and enhance bowel movements to get them going. So that's really important. There is one substance, though, that I think is worth mentioning that I think is reasonable to take because it doesn't cause constipation and it does pick up some of those things, is zeolite, which is a natural product from volcanic rock. And it has little pits and inside the particles that actually bind some of these heavier toxic substances and heavy metals, but it doesn't cause constipation. And there is, you know, if you go to PubMed and look for bentonite clay and charcoal, you're not going to find much. There's great data published about zeolite. I'm surprised more people don't use it.
Yes, I'm surprised too. I've never, in all of our journey with the doctors we've had, I've never heard that. So thank you so much for bringing that up. Okay, I want to shift gears one more time and share one more story and have you explain the science. So I, a year ago, tested positive for Lyme. You know, I've had such a sketchy medical history. I'm one of those people. And I actually wasn't even going to treat. I kind of was just preying on what should I do? You know what I mean? Because I also have to take care of my children. And one of my friends was like, you know, if you don't start doing something for your Lyme, you're just going to have another ailment pop up in 5 years, which has pretty much been my history since I was in my 20s. And so I started taking the Vital Plan herbs. My son and I both actually, I actually did put him on the immune support too, started in the summer.
And I've always had Hashimoto. I've had it for 20 plus years. I've been on these herbs for 7 months now. And on my last appointment, I have zero nodules now. I had 4 throughout the journey. Then I was down to 2 for the last 10 years. And I always had these 2 nodules. I always had to have an ultrasound. And they're gone now. So I don't know how to explain that. The only thing I did was add in the herbs. Now I'd love to get off my medication at some point. How is it possible that these herbs then, you know, now I see no nodules? Is there bacteria in nodules?
Well, yeah, it's all about cellular stress. I mean, everything you can talk about is about cells. Our body is made of cells. Even our, you know, producing thyroid hormone, it's about cells. And when cells are stressed, they do crazy things. But I think I'm coming around to really thinking that you can explain any autoimmune illness, including Hashimoto's, without considering that microbe factor. And I think we pick up a lot of things, and the things that we have the ability to test for now is very limited. So, and we're always looking for the microbe that causes the thing. You know, it's like, okay, we've decided that Hashimoto's is microbial. What is the bacteria or the virus that causes it? And what I'm finding is with these chronic situations, it doesn't work like that. It's a spectrum of different microbes working together, and it can be different in different people, but they're opportunist. And again, that idea of the microbes emerging from stress cells in your immune system, attacking them, I think is just, it's a very elegant explanation for what autoimmune illness is. And so when cells are stressed, they do crazy things like form nodules. So basically, you are suppressing microbes, restoring cellular health. And when you do that, it doesn't matter which cells you're talking about in the body. When your cells are restored to a normal state, when you create an environment that allows your cells to recover from stress, they go back to doing what they're supposed to do, which is doing their job. And they do it very willingly and gratefully. You just have to create that environment. And the herbs just do an extraordinary job of doing that. So that's what it's all about. So, you know, that's what's so sensational about this, looking at this model of cellular wellness. It doesn't matter which group of cells in the body you're talking about. The herbs are going to have a broad spectrum effect. And there's no doubt, you know, that certain herbs are going to be a little more beneficial for certain cell types. It's like milk thistle, we know, is really good for promoting liver cell health. Well, but it's really affecting all the cells in the body. You know, it has effect on brain cells and heart cells. And so it's this phytochemistry of the plant isn't necessarily you know, you're getting broad spectrum. So those kinds of things, yeah, I started hearing those stories about thyroid issues resolving. Now, it is all about cells, though, and there are people, so I don't want people to get the misconception that, oh, if I just take herbs, all of my hypothyroidism is going to go away. So it has to do with cell count, right? And if you've lost enough thyroid cells that you've basically killed off, you're not necessarily going to get them back. You're not going to regenerate them. So, you know, if you've lost a critical volume of thyroid cells, no amount of herbs is going to restore you to totally normal, right? So part of aging, part of this whole process is loss of functional cells. So we hit peak cell count at age 20. At age 20, we have 5 to 10 times more cells than we actually need. By age 40, half our reserves are gone. By age 80, we're working on with a bare minimum of cells. You know, so at 65, I don't have the cell volumes, and I've burned a lot of cells during those years of Lyme disease, but I don't have symptoms because the cells I have are at peak health. And that's really important. So you are going to lose cells. It's like someone with Parkinson's, you know, they've had an autoimmune reaction, probably to a microbe that's killed off the cells in the brain that initiate movement. They're not going to get those cells back. Type 1 diabetic, again, an infection, a virus, we don't know exactly which one infects the beta cells in the pancreas. The body attacks it and kills off all of those cells. They're gone. They're not coming back, you know. So, you know, cell, looking at those things from a point of view of cellular health, health explains some things too. But if you keep the cells that you have healthy, if you do the things you need to do, good diet, good sleep, good exercise, taking herbs every day, if you do those things and create an environment that promotes cellular health, your healing potential is going to be absolutely remarkable at any age.
Agree. Agree. And thank you so much for setting us straight on that and like the reality, right, of the age of our cells. But at the end of the day, restoring your cells is restoring your health.
Yes.
That is like my big takeaway. And Dr. Rawls, also before we leave today, we still need to talk about this. You still have your book, Cellular Wellness. I read it. It's remarkable. So much of what we talked about today is in the book, but you also go over kind of like the components of restoring your health and restoring your cells, not just through herbs, but through so many other factors too. I remember your book is amazing. Can you tell everybody where they can purchase your book today?
Well, you can get it on Amazon, like you can get any book on Amazon. So it's there for sure. I think we have like 150 some 5-star reviews. So people have liked it, which made me feel good. But we also have it on our website, vitalplan.com. And it has its own website, cellularwellness.com. So I would say this isn't a book about Lyme disease specifically. It's kind of beyond Lyme disease. Everything that I've learned that during that journey and applied to everything else that you need to know about. So it's still really valuable content.
Yeah. Oh, very valuable. Thank you so much, Dr. Rawls, for being on the podcast again. It's always an honor and a pleasure to speak with you in person. I'm always so thrilled to do this. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. Truly.
Thank you so much for listening. If you felt inspired, please submit a review. More reviews help others find Very Happy Stories. And don't forget to subscribe and share this with someone else you know who could use a very happy story right about now. Until next time, have a happy day.
It's said that the more time you have to invest, the greater the return. Well, guess what? Kids have the most time if we learn to invest early. That's why I created the Cash Kid Podcast, where I teach kids and some adults financial skills they need to know on how to earn, save, and invest their money. Join me on this journey as we interview experts and explore topics that allow you to grow your money as kids. This podcast will help you become the money expert among your family and friends. Just remember, anyone can be a cash kid. You just have to learn how to become one. Get ready to grow your financial knowledge and your wallet with the Cash Kid Podcast.